You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Amen. Good to see you guys this morning. Welcome. My name is Randy Fuller, one of the pastors here at The Village Church Fort Worth. It's a joy to just be here again with you guys. We're going to continue our series through Empowered, which is a journey through the book of Acts. And this week we're going to be in Acts 2. So if you're using the Bible in the seat back in front of you, that's going to be on page 909. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn there. And as you're turning there, I want to real quickly address a few lies. And so if you've been here the past couple of weeks, you may have heard, and we always want to meet lies with the truth. So you may have heard that I was the one that said that Davy Crockett brought the gospel to Texas. And it's just not true. I need to address that. It was absolutely Ben Hamilton that said that. Absolutely. So you can feel free to correct him in that. The second thing is that Neil, our student minister Neil, who's from Koontz, Texas, which is a suburb of Beaumont, if you can believe that, he said that where I'm from, Saginaw, is basically the Koontz of DFW. And to that I say, he's probably pretty true. Okay, well, enough of that. Hopefully you're there in Acts 2. So we've got a lot to do today, so we're going to cover the entire chapter. And typically when we do this and when we preach over an entire chapter, we want to read through the whole thing, but we're going to fly a little bit higher today just because there's so much, and we're trying to see the stream throughout this. And so we're going to look at these different sections. And so if you notice in your Bible, there are headers, those bold lines that kind of break up different sections. Now, those are not inspired. Those weren't in the original language, but they're often been really helpful. And so we're going to dive into those today, and we're going to see, because I think it's telling kind of the bigger picture. And I think it's telling one similar strand running through all of that. And we're going to see this. When the Holy Spirit empowers the people of God to participate in the work of God, his plans will be accomplished. Okay, I'm going to say it again. When the Holy Spirit empowers the people of God to participate in the work of God, his plans will be accomplished. And so first we're gonna stop and we're gonna take a look at what the Holy Spirit empowers, what and who. And so I've got, as we look at those three sections, I've got three P's for us, all right? Pentecost, Peter, and people. Easy. Just fully embracing this Baptist preacher thing. Okay, Peter, nope, Pentecost, Peter, I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting there. Pentecost, Peter, and people, as we look at the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and then the fellowship of all believers. Okay, so let's jump in here first with Pentecost. And this is just a beautifully weird passage, and I just love it so much. And it's really great because right now you can look out and just see who comes from a more Pentecostal background and who comes from a more conservative, either by the look of joy or terror, just depending on what we're about to dive in on. So it's okay, just breathe. Both of you, we're going to talk about the Bible. It'll be fine. All right, so let's start here. Let's look at verse 1. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so what we see in these first four verses, when we look, what do we see the Holy Spirit do? Well, he came in like a rushing wind. He divided up tongues as a fire and put it over everyone. He filled everyone in that room up. And then he encouraged them and gave them power to speak. And then what did the people do? So they were gathered together. They were then filled up. They did not fill themselves. They were filled up and they spoke. They were filled up by the Spirit and they spoke. Now, without the Holy Spirit, could they have gathered together? Well, yes, they were. They did do that. But if the Holy Spirit had not come and empowered that, and if we gather here today and the Holy Spirit does not empower this is not much more than like a Rotary Club. Is that still a thing, a Rotary Club? Okay. The 9 o'clock was like, I don't know what that means. Okay, it's like Rotary Club. It landed. Okay, the crux of this is that the Holy Spirit must empower. And praise God that he does. And the Holy Spirit empowers God's people to do many things. And so here, it's to speak boldly and miraculously. They're gonna stand up and speak in everyone's language. Everyone's gonna hear what they are saying in their own language. And later in this section, we're gonna see people from all over in all different types of languages. They're gonna hear the word of God spoken by, in their own dialect, spoken by these men from Galilee. And Galilee, they're uneducated men. I mean, Galilee is basically the Kuntz of Jerusalem. I'm sorry. I didn't do that. They're uneducated. They're formally uneducated fishermen. And so when did they have time to learn all these languages, to learn the perfect dialect? They didn't. The Holy Spirit gave them this gift. The Spirit of God, just God, is not limited to the capacity of our own minds. He's not limited to what we think is our limit. He's not limited to any kind of law of physics or time, any type of law of nature. If God wants to do something, he's gonna do it. And if he wants to give you the gift of tongues to proclaim the gospel to someone who otherwise wouldn't understand you, he's gonna do it. He does what he pleases. Do you believe that God can do that today? Amen. Do you believe that God, the God of the universe, the sovereign God over all things and over all creation, can manifest himself in your life and in the life of this church? Absolutely. Absolutely, we believe that. Do we long for that? Yes, absolutely. But here's the thing, we can't put God in a box. And we can't just put together the right type of service or do the right things in order to kind of conjure him up like a genie in a bottle. That's not how this works. God does what he pleases. And so we, as the people of God, we gather together under the faucet of his grace and his mercy and his power. And we beg that he turns the water on. So if you have an extra hour this week, go back and listen to a sermon that Pastor Matt Chandler preached in 2012 called Under the Faucet, because he talks about the move and the manifestation or the special presence of the Holy Spirit in a really profound and just beautiful way. So I highly encourage you to go and listen to that. So yes, we absolutely believe that this or things like this could happen today and do happen today. And a lot of times here in the West, we don't get to see kind of the more spectacular or sensational manifestations and how that works out, but this is happening daily. And just because we don't get to see the big things doesn't mean that it doesn't happen and doesn't mean that it's not happening right now, because it's happening here. And so even here in our body, I mean, we have people that sing and speak in tongues. We have people that walk in the gift of discernment of spirits. We have people that dream dreams and walk in the prophetic in that way. We have people that exhort, that have the gift of encouragement, the words of knowledge. We have that. It's happening. And it's not just those gifts, and it's not just tongues, and it's not just here. Like, I would encourage you to go and set up a Skype meeting with our missionaries and just hear the work that the Lord is doing. I have to tell this story real quickly. So back in April, myself and Brittany Gehringer, our group's minister, and then Ben Hamilton, we all jumped on a plane and we flew to Europe to visit some of our missionaries for a missionary care trip. And which just decided, if you have to travel like 6,000 miles in 6 days on 4 flights, like that was a fun crew to do that with. And so we jumped on a plane, and our second leg of that journey, we went to Romania to visit Nathan and Brittany Garrett, who've been there. We launched them out around the time we were launching this campus. And so we sent them out, and we on the second leg of that trip, we got to go and visit there. And while we were there, we met a young woman named Anna Maria. And so Anna Maria, when she was little, she fell and hit her eye on a concrete step, didn't have access to the medical care that she needed. And so she went blind in this eye and then quickly moved to the other eye and took that one as well. So she's completely blind. Back in 2006, she was living in a little village called Rust. And it was right off of the Danube River, which is the second longest river in Europe. If you're ever on Jeopardy, you need to know that. So in 2006, the Danube River floods. The people of Rust pick up and move a few miles down and set up a tent village there. And they named it Rusta New, which is New Rust. They were putting their efforts towards other things at that point. And so New Rust was there, and it's a tent village, right? And so Christians come to bring relief, share the gospel with Anna Maria, and she believes. And the Lord saves her. The flood displaced her. The Lord saved her there. So the flood subsides. They move back to Rust. New Rust actually becomes a village. That's where the Garretts live now. But Anna Maria is back in Rust. So being blind, she made a phone call one day and misdialed. And so she called, and a young man named Tavi picked up. And Tavi says, "I'm sorry, this is the wrong number. Hey, but what's that music you have playing in the background?" And Anna Maria said, "Well, it's Repenter music." She invites him to church. Tavi, his father, his mother, his sister, and his grandmother all become saved. The Lord saved him and his family. Tavi is now in a neighboring village named Nagoy. He's now the acting pastor there while he finishes seminary. Now, you try to tell me that that is not God working through the supernatural to further his kingdom in Romania, all because of flood. He is orchestrating and he is moving and advancing his kingdom in Romania, and he is advancing his kingdom here. Because when the Holy Spirit empowers the people of God to participate in the work of God, he's going to accomplish his plans. Okay, so as we look at this event that happened at Pentecost with the tongues of fire, I think we need to jump back and look at Genesis 11. So we'll put it on the screen, or you can keep your finger in Acts 2 and turn back. It's gonna be on page 8, I believe, if you're using that black hardback Bible in front of you. So we're gonna read Genesis 11, 1 through 9. This is the Tower of Babel. "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the whole face of the earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth." So here we see one language. And we see one people working, and they are working together to what? Try to end poverty and to honor the Lord and to serve one another in all they do? No. We see them working together to accomplish evil. And I want us to read this in Isaiah. Again, we'll put it up there. This is Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. This is what the Lord has to say about our enemy, Satan. Beginning in verse 12. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" They're doing the exact same thing that Satan got kicked out of heaven for. They're trying to advance the wrong kingdom. They're working together, speaking the same language, putting their minds together to accomplish evil. And here's the terrifying part. God said they would accomplish it. When you work together without the gift of the Spirit, the holiness, the empowering Holy Spirit, you will work together for evil. And I would absolutely say this today about anything that claims to be a church that is not empowered by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you think about that. That's like an appliance not plugged into the electricity in the wall. It's not going to be able to accomplish its intended purposes. It's probably going to end up hurting someone. We have to be empowered by the Spirit, and praise God that we are. So God confuses languages, and he scatters his people here at the Tower of Babel. And you can see, if we're honest, you can see where the enemy has crept in here, can we not? Where he's crept in there and uses and corrupts God's kindness and his mercy. And he uses that to incite racism over anyone that speaks a different language or a different culture or is a different ethnicity, not a part of this tribe or that tribe or that tribe. The enemy comes in and twists and destroys. And we gotta fight against that. We've got to fight against that. That's why we're doing the Unite class, which again, if you're not signed up for that, please go and take that. We have brothers and sisters that are feeling this. And we have to step in and we have to fight against that because one, we need to lay our lives down for one another, but two, it's the enemy twisting what God is actually doing. That was his kindness and his mercy to actually do that, because to see the beauty and the kindness of what God has done in Pentecost, we have to see it rightly. God scattered the people at Babel, but when we fast forward to Acts 2 and look at verse 5, what do we see here? Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Look, God's people were scattered, but even now we see him beginning to gather them back together. These are the people that heard in their own language the good news of Jesus, and God saved them. This is God undoing the Tower of Babel. He's beginning to undo that and restore and redeem, and he's bringing his people back together after they've been ransomed. And they are working together again, only this time they're not working and pulling together and putting their hands to the plow for evil or selfish gain or to make a name for themselves. No, this time they are working together for good. Why? Because God has empowered them to do so. This is God undoing the Tower of Babel. He had Pentecost in mind at the Tower of Babel. He had it planned. Just think about that for a minute. He had this planned, and not only did he have Pentecost planned, but he had the end planned as well. He had the end in mind. Chris just read it in our call to worship. Revelation 5, 9 through 10 says this, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from what? Every tribe, language, people, and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. I mean, come on. This is the end. This is what our God does. This is God gathering his people never to be scattered again. And they're no longer working and toiling on evil as they were at the Tower of the Babel. We're not even working and toiling as we are now to spread the word of God. Our work is now worshiping him for all eternity. It's his kindness and his mercy that scattered at Babel. It's his kindness and his mercy that gathered together to save and redeem at Pentecost, to scatter back out. And it is his kindness and his mercy that will gather us forever, that we may worship him. This is what our God does. And then we look towards Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And we're going to keep moving through that. Now, this is Peter. And so when I say Peter and you think, I know a Peter from the Bible, that doesn't sound like him. It's that Peter. That's him, the same one that so boldly stood up and was like, I'll never abandon you, Jesus. Whoop. Same Peter. Only now, he's not empowered by his own strength because we saw where that got him. He is now empowered and emboldened by the Spirit of God. And it's crazy. It's crazy. This is Peter standing up, empowered by the Spirit, and doing what he saw Jesus do. He is now standing up in front of people and proclaiming. And I mean, he's pulling together passages from Joel and Psalms, and he's tying that into the finished work of Jesus, and he is putting together a sermon that we didn't know was possible from him. Right, like just 50 days earlier at the resurrection, this is a different level of understanding that Peter has. We saw glimmers of that last week when he stood up and in front of the brothers and quoted the Psalms and had them cast lots for a new disciple. And then we see him here put together and put forth a sermon that is simple, it's compelling, it is based upon the scripture, and it is practical. And he proclaims the gospel and calls people to repent. And then get this, they do. They do. Picking up in verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that is a miracle. That is a miracle that people would hear the gospel and respond in that way. Only the power of the Holy Spirit of God can do such a thing. But now, if you grew up like I did, in the denomination that I did, you would have heard a phrase in there just then, and you know that as Acts 2:38, and you know it like the back of your hand. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And it's trying to couple these things. Because you maybe were taught, as I was, that your salvation depended on you being baptized. And I just want to lovingly, if I can, speak against that. Because if that is true, then your salvation is dependent on you, which means grace goes out the window. The cross of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay for the penalty of your sins. It is sufficient. You can't add anything to that. Yes, baptism is a command of Scripture, and it is the believer walking in obedience. And if you claim to be a believer and say that you don't want to be baptized, I would love to sit and just ask questions and find out where you're coming from. But this is truth. We cannot add anything to the cross of Christ. We can't add anything to the finished work of Jesus. It's finished. It's like Jonathan Edwards said, you contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. Listen, we are saved by grace alone. And because of that, we can now put forth Holy Spirit empowered and grace-driven effort in our sanctification and our daily lives. But it is finished. We are saved by grace alone. We cannot earn what is freely given by God in his grace. And so we see the Holy Spirit is the one that did the work. And it says that he added 3,000 souls that day. And then lastly, we move on to the third P, the people, the fellowship of all believers. We'll pick that up in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, who is doing that work? It's God. Now, the people did a lot of things in there, but at the end of it, it's the Spirit of God that is doing that work. And here's something we can't miss in that. Verse 44 says this, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That's crazy. Listen, college football is back. All I have to do to prove that we don't have all things in common, just ask the Aggies and the Longhorns to identify themselves. You'll hear all kinds of whoops and hookums and hisses and everything, and that'll prove. It will prove that we don't have all things in common. How on earth does that happen? Because listen, if you find a church where you have everything in common with everyone there, you need to just kind of set down the Kool-Aid cup and make your way toward the exit. That's a cult. Get out. It's either going to be that or you're going to be in a room by yourself going, yeah, this church is awesome. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. What's it talking about here? The main thing, which is such the main thing, that it becomes the only really thing that matters, is Christ Jesus. It is Christ Jesus. Because when you have Jesus in common, everything else becomes secondary. Deference becomes the norm. Because we have Jesus in common. You see a single mother that's struggling to make ends meet, you count what you have as a loss and give it away to make sure that need is met. We have Jesus in common. You use your spiritual gifts to build up and bless the church, not to exalt yourself. And when you have Jesus in common, you can more easily lay down your preferences for the sake of another brother or sister. When you have Jesus in common, every need is met by him through his Holy Spirit-empowered church. Because when you have Jesus in common, you have everything in common. You have everything in common. And this is what it looks like here for us in this space between Pentecost and Revelation. We have all things in common. So we should be able to read this section of scripture, the fellowship of all believers. We should be able to read through that and go, hey, that's us. That's us. That's what it looks like here as we go through and we are the church. This devotion to God's word, the fellowshipping with one another, the prayer, the selling of possessions and meeting needs, that's a choice that they made, and it's one that we have to make as well. And so when we look at Acts 2, when we look at this whole chapter, I think there's a real danger in us to kind of read this as like a decrescendo. You know what that means? It's a musical term where the music just kind of gets softer and quieter until it just kind of fades out. It's easy to read it like that, right? You're like, Pentecost, Peter's sermon, fellowship of the believer. And it just kind of fades off. But what I think happens if we read it that way is we miss out on the work of God in our lives today. Because you see, if we sit around and we are only waiting on Pentecost-type movements of the Spirit in our quiet times where the glory of God manifests itself so much we have to wear a veil to work so we don't freak people out, like if we're holding on to that as the goal, I think we're missing out. I think we can very quickly, that type of thinking can very quickly overshadow the miraculous work that the Lord is doing right before our very eyes. Now, yes, I long to see Pentecost and Pentecost-type movements of the Spirit, but I don't want those things more than I want the Spirit himself in whatever way he wants to move. Like I don't want to be disappointed because God chose to do what he wanted over what I want. I don't want to be so focused on seeing the spectacular that I miss the miracle of the ordinary. And so I think we got to flip the way we read this. It's not a decrescendo, it's a crescendo. Like, you look at the start, and the music is only getting louder, and it's only getting more robust as the kingdom of God keeps moving forward, and it's advancing by his power every second of the day. Listen, every time you choose holiness over sin, the kingdom is advancing. Every time you break bread with your home group, every time you lift your eyes to the heaven in prayer, every time you repent over your sin to God and to those whom you have sinned against, every time you say yes to whatever it is he's calling you to do, be that sharing with your neighbor or going to the nations, every time you open the word of God and you get to hear from and commune with the holy God, it's miraculous. Listen, Peter's message back then is our same message today. What started in Jerusalem has now made its way here. It has radically changed us. Do you see how miraculous that is? The fellowship of the believers in Acts 2 and the fellowship of the believers here in this church is not boring. In fact, it's no less miraculous than what the Lord did on the day of Pentecost. Because you see, if we view where we are in human history as the end, if you view this space between Pentecost and Revelation 5, if you view that as the end, you're gonna miss it. This is not the end. Listen, the Lord's gathered us together to worship him today, but in about 20 minutes, we're gonna be scattered again. That's why we don't live at church. We've got Holy Spirit-empowered work to do. The work is set before us. God has planned it already. He's going to accomplish it. And he's now empowering us to do that. We have to live with the end. We've got to live with heaven in mind because we are a sent and a scattered people soon to be gathered again. Never to be scattered again. And we want to be a church that is equipped to do that. We want to be a church that's equipped to live missionally and to know how to go and to share the gospel with people. That's why we have a class that's literally called How to Share the Gospel. It's 3 weeks. Go and take that class. Charity's going to be right there on the way out. Could not be easier. Swing by there. She might even give you a prize. Sign up. We'll bribe you into classes. I don't care. Sign up for that class. Sign up for Scent and learn how we can be missional. That's a 4-week class. Listen, we are doing these things because we want to make them accessible and we want to be equipped so that we can be the church outside of these walls. We are a scattered people, but one day we'll be gathered again and we will worship him forever. Because we've got to get our eyes up and see the magnitude of God and the work that he's doing. And we got to dive in head first. We can't let a day, or an hour, a minute go by without opening the word of God, praying, breaking bread together with one another, talking about the Lord with one another and with others that do not know him, because he is worthy of that. He is worthy of that, and he is accomplishing his plans, and he will accomplish his plans in my life, in your life, in the life of this church. Look at verse 39. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Church, he is moving. He is empowering. And he is accomplishing his plan. And listen, we get to be a part of that. He has graciously and lovingly invited us in. There is gospel work to be done that when we work together, the Lord will accomplish. He will do it. Church, we got to dive in head first. There's work to be done. Holy Spirit, help us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that what we are doing here is yours. It belongs to you, and you will accomplish your plans. And so we thank you for the confidence that we can have in that. We thank you for how empowered we can be because of the work that you have done and are doing. So Jesus, we thank you for walking in obedience to the Father. Spirit, we thank you that you have not left us. You are moving and working even in our hearts right now. We want more of you, Lord, whatever that looks like. We love you and we thank you. It's through Christ that we live and pray. Amen.